and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is the opposition preview with the Cop TV, joined by the legend AGT. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. Legend. I'm not sure about that, but I'll definitely take it. But yeah, good to be making my debut on the channel, man. I'm a big fan of your work as well, so good to be here.
Yeah, you are a legend to me because I watch DR Sports and I love you, your preview show over there. So you do always stick up and big up the Villa. So I absolutely love that from you. So,
I've got a little soft spot for Villa, man. massive club, huge club. Listen, more successful in Europe than Arsenal, Tottenham. I know you say it, but I'll say it as well, mate. Up the Villa, blood. Love it.
Right, so let's get stuck into it then. So how's the season been as a whole before we get into the Jurgen Klopp stuff,
mate? This season has just been mental from start to finish in terms of going behind so much, coming back, you know, going so far in all these competitions to getting the news from Jurgen. I think it was the 26th of January. So we've been sitting on that news now for 4 months, and it's just been an absolute roller coaster. And the way it's ended, it's a shame, bro. I'll be honest with you. I really thought it would end in a more successful way. But when I look back to, you know, winning that Carabao Cup with the kids at Wembley against the £1 billion bottle jobs, I was there, and honestly, I'm so grateful looking back now that I was there for Jurgen's last trophy at Liverpool. So it's been a really tough, long, emotional season, I'll be honest, because obviously the news. But we've done so well to even get to this stage. I don't think any of us really had Liverpool down as title contenders, especially with the new midfield that we had to kind of rebuild. And mate, there's been some incredible moments this season. You look at the Forest winner in the 99th minute from Darwin. You look at, you know, some of the Europe. I was at the Prague game where we won 6-1 and Darwin scored absolute two worldies. You know, the Arsenal game in the cup, winning there with the kids as well. Just an unbelievably unforgettable season, but there's been some real points in it as well. You know, the United defeat, you know, not getting it over the line against Everton. So it's faded away a little bit, but it doesn't kind of take away the memories. And I think Liverpool fans this season more than ever will realise that football isn't... Listen, Liverpool was built to win trophies, and we have done that this season, and we've been successful. But I think Klopp said it perfectly. Like, he's not maybe won as many trophies that he would have liked to, but he's created relationships and memories that last longer than any trophy can. So, mate, it's going to be really emotional seeing him leave next Sunday at Anfield. I'm going to be there. And we'll all have to dust ourselves down and get ready for the new era with Julian Ward coming back, Michael Edwards back. We've got Richard Hughes. So it genuinely is a new era. And obviously Arne Slot's going to lead that. So we'll see what happens next year. But to answer your question, this year has just been unforgettable for good and bad ways, man.
Yeah, I think you've had a real good season. So we may as well turn to probably the biggest question that I'm going to ask you. Like, what does Jurgen Klopp mean to you?
Oh man, how long have we got?
Take your time. A
couple hours. Should we just go to the pub and have a cry? What does he mean to me? I think the impact that he's had on my life goes beyond, you know, just what's happened on the pitch. Funnily enough, the month that me and my girlfriend started dating, I think 2 days later, Jurgen joined and we're still together. So I almost feel like Jurgen and my girlfriend have joined my lives at this time, and they're both still in it, which is incredible. He means everything in the sense that I think he just says all the right things. You know, when you're in times of trouble as a football club in your own life, he just says the right things and you say, actually, it's not that bad. Life's not that bad. You know, even when we lost 7-2 at Villa, he still come out and said some stuff which made you think, well, actually, it's in the grand scheme of things, it isn't too bad. We've just won the league. We won a Champions League. And he's just given me the best moments of my life that I'll never forget. And listen, people get too attached to football. They say it's an emotional sport. You know, my girlfriend sometimes will say, why are you like getting emotional about this? but I can't help it. He brings it out of every Liverpool fan, mate, and I absolutely love the guy. And I think rival fans can say whatever they want about him, but if you're being really honest, anyone, and I'm talking United, Arsenal, Chelsea, maybe not City, but in a different way, but anyone would have Klopp. I think people absolutely have loved to experience what it's like having Klopp as your manager. And I'm just so thankful that he came to us and did everything that he said he was going to do. If I'm honest, bro, I'd love another year. I think another year would have got to 10 years. And I think that's a fair round number to leave on. But listen, I completely respect his own decisions. And when you think of the pressure he must be under, the work, he's obviously getting paid very well to do it. But, you know, you can't replace him. It's impossible. So he means, in answer to your question, mate, he means absolutely everything to not just me, but every single Liverpool fan around the world who he's instilled hope into. And again, you take that hope and that belief, that self-belief that he has, and you take it into your own life. So it's not even, you know, from a football perspective, he's almost like a philosopher, bro. He's like a spokesperson for the city of Liverpool and human beings. I just absolutely love him, mate. I couldn't love him anymore.
Yeah, and we've done a preview on the Kop TV as well, and we've spoke about, you know, how Villa fans feel about Unai Emery, you know, and you know, I can imagine how you're feeling, because I'd be heartbroken if Emery left us. So
I am heartbroken. I'm fighting the tears, yeah, mate, if I'm honest.
Yeah, mate, I can be totally honest. But you do have a new era coming with Slot coming. And we've seen when Wenger left, we've seen when Fergie left, they've not really recovered, and they didn't recover quickly enough. How are you feeling about this? You know, I know you've sort of, you've got Klopp first, you know, and he hasn't left yet. But so how are you feeling about that and that sort of project that he's got?
I think on paper, when you look at the rebuild that's happening, not on the pitch, but off the pitch at Liverpool, where a Julian Ward, a Michael Edwards, these guys, as much as Jurgen Klopp won us all these trophies, bro, in that era, these guys won it for us with the recruitment and selling players as well. You look at the money we got for a Jordan Ibe or a Solanke or, you know, some of the lads that we sold. Unbelievable. So in terms of off the pitch, upstairs, the boardroom level, I'm more than happy going into next year, because these are the guys that have already proved that they can do it at Liverpool. And now, obviously, you know, Michael Edwards is not only just director of football, he's CEO. So he's stepped it up. You know, Julian Moore comes back as director of football. And then you've got Richard Hughes, who I know is very close with Michael Edwards, as kind of overseeing the recruitment. So off the pitch, I'm really confident and happy with the setup. On the pitch, bro, I don't really know if I can give you an answer, if because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we've seen all the the clips and the story now of Arne Slot, and yeah, you know, on paper looks great. The only thing I'd be a little bit concerned about is his lack of kind of Premier League and Champions League experience at the top level. But listen, his philosophy, his way of working seems like it's connected to Liverpool. I mean, I'll be honest, I was pretty much certain that we get Xabi Alonso. I was pretty much certain then we get Ruben Amorim. So I don't know. Time will tell is the answer. I guess we just have to wait and see. But, you know, if the main crop of players stay and we bring in a few more, I think with Virgil's experience, Alisson's experience, even, mate, you look at Trent now, Arne Slot's going to be looking at these guys to just carry on what Klopp has already got in terms of, you know, a mental standpoint. Can you get, you know, draws and turn them into wins? So he'll be looking at the senior leadership team in that squad to almost carry on what Klopp's done. But of course, he'll have his own techniques and methods. So again, we'll see. I'm hopeful, but we'll see. Like you said, no one can replace what we've had. It's like you know, you're going out, you're married to Miss World, right? And then she gets rid of you. Anything below that is going to be a step down, isn't it? So that's the way I look. It's a step into the unknown. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you know, with Klopp going, do you feel like Salah stays? Is that the vibe? He's sort of Salah staying, Van Dijk. Are they all sort of going to be there? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, Salah, obviously we heard last week that he's planning to stay. Any offer from the Saudis is likely to get rejected. And I think that's because of the loyalty we've both shown each other. You know, Jürgen and Mo have gone on this crazy ride that were up and down. There's been great moments, there's been really sad moments. You look at the Champions League final when he was injured by Ramos. Actually, I won't say the word injured. He was assaulted by Sergio Ramos. So Mo will stay. I think he honours the last year of his contract, mate. He's got a year left after this season. I think everyone would say that he could even go beyond that season in terms of his fitness. If you look at his body, it's he looks after himself so well, as we know. So I do think he stay. Virgil's already come out and said he's staying next season. I don't think any of the big players leave, if I'm honest with you. I know there's been interest in Luis Diaz from PSG. Obviously, they're looking to replace Mbappe and others. His dad was, you know, kidnapped earlier on in the season. We get him back and he starts telling everyone how much his son wants to join Barca and Real Madrid. So there's a few scousers that were saying, bell them kidnappers back, lads. So there could be one or two that leave, but I think the majority are here to stay, bro. I'll be honest.
That's so funny. Right, turn our attention to Villa then. What have you made of Villa? Like I say, you do big us up. So, for the Villa fans that watch our show, what have you made of Villa and Emery? I know you're a fan of Emery as well.
Massive fan of Emery, mate, from probably his Villarreal days when, you know, they came to Anfield and made it really difficult in that semi-final. Obviously, Sevilla, we've played him against them. Klopp's played against him in Moscow as well when he was at Dortmund. So their kind of respect for each other is huge. I don't think it could be bigger. You saw how glowing Klopp spoke about Emery in the presser yesterday. He said he's one of the best in the business. And I totally agree with that. Maybe Arsenal and PSG fans wouldn't like to admit that, but what he has done, mate, is Klopp levels in terms of coming in, fixing the mess, getting everyone on the same hymn sheet, and just absolutely having a group of players that would die for you. And what Unai Emery has done this season has been nothing short of miraculous. And if you get Champions League, if I'm honest, bro, I'd have him down as manager of the season. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of Villa just in general. And when Stevie was there, I think most Liverpool fans, their soft spots reignited for Villa. He goes and obviously Unai comes in and it's unfathomable what he's done, mate. For you to even be in with a shout of Champions League is a joke. The players that you've got, I mean, you look at Diego Carlos, what a bad injury he had. He's been an absolute monster for the Villa now. You look at the goalkeeper, I'm not a fan of him, to be honest, but, you know, what he's done, the clean sheets, the games, the penalty saves, the midfield, Douglas Luiz has been incredible. John McGinn, McGinny Esther, as I like to call him, incredible. With his big ass. I'm a big fan of Leon Bailey as well and Ollie Watkins. So he's just, like I said, he's you've not won a Champions League or Premier League to make that Klopp comparison. But what I mean in terms of the first 2 years of Klopp, had to suffer a bit. You have suffered this season. Let's not, you know, skirt around that. You have suffered. But overall, when the season finishes, you're going to look back and say, that's potentially the best season I've ever seen from Villa in the Premier League. Maybe.
Yeah.
Even maybe it eclipses the Martin O'Neill days as well.
100%. This, for me, is the best I've ever seen Villa. Like, the best. And we haven't won a trophy yet, but what he's done and how we've grown. We've only had really, like, three transfer windows with him, you know. And I keep saying, like, you know, give us a bit more time. Like, how are we going to be in like a year's time? Like, you know, when we start to get this like recruitment model, like in January, we had Monchi, but Monchi was too late coming in, our sort of sporting director recruitment guy. So we never really did much in the summer. But in January, it was the first part where we started to see like a recruitment policy. So we signed Nedeljkovic, a really highly sought after right back in European football, left back from Arsenal. Morgan Rogers came in, all young players. So there feels to be like this recruitment policy now where, yeah, we'll probably go out and spend a lot of money on a player, but we'll get these youngsters and nurture them and a couple will stay and a couple will go out on loan. So, yeah, even in that aspect, it's exciting because for so many years, all Villa have ever done is sort of lived towards a transfer window, as sort of saying, like, once we get to this window, this player, yeah, that'll save us. And like, we scramble around, and it's horrible. So to kind of have, like, we can look into a distance and be like, God, I want it. How good will we be when we get to there? So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And on your channel,
good time.
Yeah, definitely.
And you will win a trophy under that guy. You will win a trophy, 100%, no question about it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you look at where we've come from. You know, sort of Championship to try and establish ourselves as a Premier League team. Like, the fans are having to learn how to sort of like win again. We're having to learn how to approach like a European tie or whatever, and the club are doing the same as well. So, you know, we're all sort of learning, and we're trying to aspire to get to sort of where we were back in the 80s, mate, winning like a European Cup. But, you know, I've been on your channel and I've said how difficult, and Villa fans will know how difficult this game is going to be. Like, we're running on fumes. The injury list is a joke now. So how do you feel like this game's going to go?
Yeah, whenever we play at Villa Park, there's always fireworks. Funnily enough, it's our most successful away ground in Premier League history, which when I actually think back, I think, how? But then you go through each year and we have won a lot of games there. Obviously, apart from the 7-2, which I think it was the last time you beat us, it is a really positive ground. But that's not... We don't go there apart from maybe that 6-0 where we came and took the piss. But I remember the Gerrard free kick last minute, the Torres winner last minute. I was at a game in 2013 at Villa Park, 2-0. The Mane header last minute, last season, it was end-to-end. So it's never really like massively one-sided, this game. Even at Anfield in the season, I think we beat you 3-1, but you went ahead, bro, and we had to fight back. And there's always a great watch, this game. And I think Monday night, lights, it's almost going to have a bit of a European atmosphere to it. Yeah, really tough place to go to. You look at Aston Villa's home record. It's been a couple of blotches on it, maybe in the last couple of months. But from maybe October through to February, it was almost like a unplayable fortress. So the respect is definitely there. It's a massive club. It's the biggest club. I think, and I said this on Twitter, I think if you get the Villa job, it's the biggest job you can get outside the big six in the country. There's such pressure on that job. You know, the history of the club, the European trophies, the League Cups, the run-ins. So it's a very tough place to go to. There's no illusions about that. But the good thing is there's always goals and there's always madness in this game, so bring it on. And I think at this point you're running on fumes, we're not going to win the league, so it's almost like, let's just, you know, like Masters football back in the day when it's like 6-6. Yeah. Fuck it, man, let's get one of them.
Well, how we're playing, mate, I'd like to take my own boots, mate, and I'll pay for them. But yeah, mate, it's been great chatting to you. Finally, you know, I'm a big fan of yours and all of the different stuff that you do. So I'll tag the channel in the title and the description, so Villa fans, go and check it out. But yeah, mate, all the best. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa, blood. And yeah, listen, man, all the best for next season. Hopefully I'll be at the Villa next year, so we'll have a beer and we'll finally meet in person, man. But yeah, big up with your channel and all the things you're doing, and look to see more of it next season, man.